The Hall of Fame induction ceremony of Brett Favre is in the books, and now it's time to look forward to training camp. To do that, we'll be joined by Packers rookie tight end Mitchell Henry. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We'll take a brief look back at the induction ceremony of Brett Favre, and we're looking forward to Packers training camp starting in a little over a week. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Packers rookie tight end Mitchell Henry. Mitchell, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. Was Brett Favre's induction into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame on your radar at all? Had you heard about that?
I saw some things about it on social media and stuff, but I think I heard about it a little bit yesterday.
Okay, so I assuming you're not in Green Bay. Are you back home kind of preparing for training camp?
Yeah, I'm back home right now, training, lifting, working out, staying in shape, and I'll be back up there the 28th.
Okay, sounds good. How did the off-season program go for you, though, mini camp, OTAs, and what did you learn during that time period with the Packers?
I think it went really well. It was definitely, something I needed, to catch some, eyes of the coaches and, to get a step ahead. And I think I really did that. I learned the playbook really well, got it down. And, I think that was the biggest key of that, time period, just to, get all the playbook down and so you have a lot more confidence going into training camp and you're not, thinking as much and, you're able to just play and not think. And I think that was the biggest key of it all.
For sure. Now, it's no secret what happened to fellow tight end Andrew Corliss this offseason and the likelihood that he'll actually be suspended in due time. Do you kind of view that as an opportunity or what's your mindset kind of knowing what transpired a few weeks ago?
I don't know a whole lot about it. Whatever happens is going to happen. I can just control what I do and hopefully I, play good enough this, preseason to, catch a lot of eyes. And, I can't really worry about that. Just got to worry about, how I play and how I perform.
Do you have specific goals that you want to accomplish during training camp?
I still feel like, I have a little chip on my shoulder. Being a free agent, I feel like, y'all kind of have that chip. And, just to, prove some people wrong that, I can play and, my blocking, my, pass catching, route running, all that's, just as good as everybody expected and, to perform on special teams. I think that's the biggest key. And, I didn't play a whole lot of special teams in college, but, to go out there and, contribute on that real quick would be one of the biggest goals.
We're talking to Packers rookie tight end Mitchell Henry here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Mitchell, what you mentioned some of these things you're working on. Is there kind of something you hang your hat on, like the thing you offer the best, the most to the team? Is it your blocking? Is it your route running? Is it your hands? I mean, it could be anything. Let me know. What is it? What do you do best?
I think I do best is definitely the pass game, route running, catching the ball. Something I've done my whole life, pretty much played a receiver in high school and, you know, pretty much was a receiver in college until, you know, my junior year, until our starting tight end graduated. And then I had to pick up more of the blocking role. But, you know, I mean, my blocking definitely came along all through college. But definitely my, you know, pass catching ability is definitely my strength.
Okay. Now, I heard you finished as the runner-up to your teammate, Richard Rodgers, in the home run derby at the Jordy Nelson softball game. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, you have that correct.
Okay. Is there any comparison in the strength it takes to hit home runs compared to the strength that need to compete on the football field?
Probably not too much. You know, I grew up playing baseball my whole life, so
okay.
That's kind of where that came from. So,
so you're used to it.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
Okay. What's it been like to work with tight ends coach Jerry Fontenot?
Oh, it's been great. He's been, you know, he's a great coach. Knows a lot what he's talking about, and you know, he's helped me and Kennard pick up offense well. And, you know, he's done a great job teaching it. And, you know, it's been a great experience learning from him, and not only him, but, you know, Q and Richard. I mean, they've been, you know, great helping out. And Perillo, they've been all great helping out, helping us learn the offense, get a hang of it.
I don't know how many passes you've caught from Aaron Rodgers during the offseason program, but was that a surreal experience when you did?
Yeah, it definitely was at first. You know, I heard a lot of people asking about it and stuff. You don't really think about it when you're out there. And then after the fact, you know, you think about it a little more. But, you know, while you're out there, you're not thinking about it too much. But it's definitely a surreal moment once you go back and think about it.
Is catching a football from him different from the other quarterbacks you worked with in college or even the other quarterbacks on the Packers roster?
Definitely in college. Yeah, for sure in college. You know, I mean, I think all the quarterbacks in the roster are doing great. You know, they're all catching the ball from all of them. You know, it's a great experience. But definitely college is a whole lot different, a whole lot faster balls. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's always on target almost, you know. So you never have to make them crazy catches, it seems like.
Now, you worked with a pretty good one with Brandon Doty at Western Kentucky. Do you think kind of the offense you ran at Western Kentucky kind of helped prepare you for the NFL?
Yeah, I think it definitely. This past one and the, you know, ran the West Coast under Coach Taggart the first 2 years, and, you know, that really helped too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just all that experience, you know, two or three different offenses has definitely helped me a ton.
What have you been working on with special teams with the Packers? Is there certain units that you've been put on or anything like that?
All of them, you know, I've been, you know, working on all of them up there. So, I think we're going to hit it hard once training camp gets here, and we'll see what happens.
Very good. Well, we wish you all the best of luck here, Mitchell, during training camp. And we're glad to have you on the show this morning and get a little perspective as you enter your very first one. So I imagine it's an exciting time and good luck. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Thanks for joining us this morning. Mitchell Henry, Packers rookie tight end, joining us here for an interview at Railbird Central on a Monday morning here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Wow, great to have him on the show. It's like I said, it's always exciting to have a Packers player join us for an interview. And our second in a row, we had linebacker James Vaughters on Friday. Today we had rookie tight end Mitchell Henry. In fact, we're going to make it three in a row. I've already confirmed for Wednesday, we've got rookie running back Alonzo Harris joining us on the show. So looking forward to that already just 2 days from now. Getting to talk to all these rookies is great, I think, because you don't know a whole lot about them, first of all, but, you know, they're entering their first training camp, and you learn a little bit about them and things like that. So I think it's really cool, and looking forward to that. So we got that to look forward to here in the next few days. But continuing on with the rest of the show.
Packers news of the day.
Of course, over the weekend, Brett Favre was inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame in front of a sold-out crowd at Lambeau Field and inside the atrium. It was televised nationally on the NFL Network. It was streamed worldwide on Packers.com. So, you know, there was certainly a large audience to see it, not only in person, but from afar and virtually. So really cool experience, of course, over the weekend to see that happen. And of course, culminating with the Brett Favre Legends football game that took place at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison on Sunday. Favre and a group of former Packers took on a team of former opponents, and for what it's worth, the former Packers team beat the NFL All-Stars 38-32 in a game that's just for fun and raised money for charity, and nobody really cares who won or who. I guess you want to see the, if you're a Packers fan, and I'm sure 99% of the audience was, you'd want to see the Packers win, but not that it really mattered. So that took place on Sunday. There were autograph signings all over the place over the weekend, both in Green Bay and Madison, and all sorts of activities, you know, relating to Favre and the Packers, which made it, you know, really kind of exciting as we, you know, near the time period here where training camp starts and, you know, kind of almost the unofficial start of the football season here. When the Packers Hall of Fame induction takes place every year at the same time, right before the start of training camp. Interest is really ramping up in football, as you can imagine, and we're getting close to that time and want to talk a little bit of football now and, you know, continuing our Packers news of the day, perhaps the most interesting piece of news, apart from Brett Favre to come out of the weekend here was the Packers reportedly showing interest in free agent wide receiver Reggie Wayne. That is the word from David First of WRTV in Indianapolis, of course, where Wayne spent his first 14 years in the NFL and won a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts. First interviewed Wayne for a segment that actually aired on Friday on that station, I believe is the ABC affiliate in Indianapolis. Anyway, you can see that online. I posted it here at 24/7 Sports in our article that relates to Packers' interest in Wayne. And even though there was no mention of the Packers in that segment, You can understand, you know, where this news, where and how and when this news originated, and very likely a question that was asked off air, you know, just as, you know, First is talking to Wayne, and you know, that wasn't caught on camera. Now, take this all with a grain of salt. I don't know how much stock to put into this. I'm sure that the Packers have maybe talked to his agent, or the agent has talked to them, and they left maybe open the possibility of it happening. I kind of maybe, you know, liken this to news that the Packers were interested in Jim Leonard last year. Leonard had said during a TV interview that his agent talked to the Packers. And it gained steam just for the fact that Leonard himself mentioned it and mentioned the Packers. You know, obviously nothing came of it. Just because a conversation took place doesn't mean there's heavy interest by any means. Everybody knows who Reggie Wayne is. He's one of the best, you know, he's one of the all-time leading receivers in the NFL. I think he's in the top 10 all-time in both receptions and yards. Great wide receiver in his prime, but now he's arguably past his prime, and that's one reason the Packers, you know, might not be interested in him. If they were, I could kind of see this as reminiscent of the signing of another former Colt by the Packers, Jeff Saturday, who was kind of a stopgap signing for the Packers that I actually, you know, Jeff Saturday did not really perform all that well in his final season with the Packers there, as he kind of came, his career came to an end with the Colts. He wasn't, you know, if, you know, the story goes, he makes the Pro Bowl and probably didn't deserve it that season. He was actually replaced in the starting lineup by Evan Dietrich Smith late in the year. But I really don't think it was a bad signing for the Packers, because it didn't cost a ton, first of all. And even with Jeff Saturday as a backup, wasn't, you know, that wasn't a terrible, you know, signing there to have, you know, one of the best centers ever to play the game as a backup. So I really don't think it was all that bad of a signing, you know, especially considering the Packers had lost Scott Wells at the time. And you know, what I think is happening here is Reggie Wayne could be an insurance policy in case of injury to either Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb. In that, you know, I don't think the Packers have any interest in Reggie Wayne as long as Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb stay healthy throughout training camp. And you know, that, you know, of course, if they were to pass on signing him now, they might lose out on the opportunity to sign him later if he signs elsewhere. But I think that's a risk the Packers would be willing to take. Because, I mean, knock on wood here, but, it, you know, as long as Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb are healthy and Davante Adams is healthy, the Packers are in pretty good shape there, not to mention the young guys coming up on the roster. But all of a sudden, you know, just playing the hypothetical game here, what if Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb was injured? Now, every other wide receiver on the team has no more than 1 year of experience in the NFL. Every one of them, we're talking Davante Adams, Jeff Janis, Jared Abradaris, Miles White, down to the undrafted rookies on the team, third-round draft choice Ty Montgomery, none of them more than 1 year of experience in the NFL, at least as far as, you know, regular season experience goes. So you can understand why they might be interested in a guy like Reggie Wayne, even though he's past his prime. Just to be like, well, you know, if one of our stars gets injured, well, it might not be a bad idea to have a kind of a veteran guy who can, you know, fill in the gap for the Packers here. And I actually asked on Twitter before the show what fans thought about the Packers potentially signing Reggie Wayne, and you know, whether they thought that would be a smart signing or not. And why? And here's some of the responses I got, and they are a pretty good response. First of all, you know, you just bring up a big name like Reggie Wayne, and I think people are, you know, interested in talking about it. But also a little bit, a lot of differing views here, as we'll see. Nathan Plitzwhite on Twitter says, only if he's coming in to help Alex Van Pelt with coaching the wide receivers. So that would be pretty much a resounding no in terms of Reggie Wayne coming into play for the Packers. Dusty Evely on Twitter, absolutely not. The Packers are ridiculously deep at wide receiver. No need to add a broken down Wayne. Kathy Witkowski on Twitter says, he was good. I'd rather they pursue a 5-year younger James Jones. And that is a very good point. If, you know, James Jones, the former Packer, is also out there on the market. He's 5 years younger, and he also has experience already in the Packer system, has built a rapport with Aaron Rodgers. I would tend to agree. Sometimes I wonder if there's more than meets the eye to the whole James Jones story here. I still don't really know why he was released by the Oakland Raiders, because I do not think, you know, he caught 70 some passes last year, and I realize James Jones is not a speed demon, but he can get the job done still. I'm wondering if there's something that happened off the field that is scaring teams off that we don't really know about. I wonder that, because I don't get it. I think James Jones can still play. In fact, I wouldn't have been mad if the Packers had re-signed him when he was a free agent last year. TTSO Chris underscore Chris says, At a position with so much young talent, I have no idea why the Packers would bring in a vet to stunt their growth. It's a bad fit. C.J. Hansen says, don't need him. There's three great to very good wide receivers in Nelson, Cobb, and Adams. I selfishly want to see the young wide receivers develop, but I'm not opposed to signing Wayne either. Steve Miracle says he's torn. He likely has gas left in the tank and wouldn't be facing the opposition's best defensive back, but it would cost other snaps. Samuel Shear on Twitter says, I think it would be a nice addition to add a veteran. It can't hurt at a good price. Mark Schumacher says, nope, too old, and Ted has stashed so much young wide receiver talent on this team, it wouldn't make any sense. Andrew Wood says, no, we have three proven guys. Young guys need experience. Wayne could hurt our future. There's more, responses here. I can't get to them all. But, suffice to say, there are a few people who are open to the idea of the Packers adding Reggie Wayne. I would say the majority say no, and it wouldn't be smart, largely because the Packers are already set. And for another reason, there's a lot of young wide receivers that they don't want to take snaps away from. And I would tend to agree. Like I said, I think what's happening here is the Packers would look at it as an insurance policy, not as a signing right now, but should something happen down the road, should, like I said, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, unfortunately be injured, I think maybe then they might turn to him, turn to a James Jones, something like that. That could certainly be. The report is other teams are interested too, including the New England Patriots, the Houston Texans as well. So there you go. Kind of interesting that Wayne could go to the Houston Texans while the Indianapolis Colts got Andre Johnson in the offseason. Almost a trade there, so to speak. But one last piece of news here, and it's rather minor, but in case you were wondering, we talked about in the last episode of Railbird Central, Aaron Rodgers finished in 27th place at the American Century Championship Golf Tournament, making his annual appearance there as he has like every year for almost like 5 years or something like that. And again, this is why he missed the Brett Favre induction into the Packers Hall of Fame. But interesting, you perhaps got an opportunity to see Aaron Rodgers on national television this weekend. It was televised on the NBC Sports Network and the NBC Parent Network at times over the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, even this past Friday. But the interesting part is Aaron Rodgers had a very poor round, his first round. The tournament lasts three rounds total. So after Friday, he was in 57th place out of a field of 91 participants, 91 celebrities. But he actually climbed all the way up to from 57th to 27th over the course of the next 2 days. So congratulations to Aaron Rodgers for getting his golf game in check and improving by 30 spots over the course of the weekend. So, finished definitely out of contention to win it all. But he definitely turned things around. While the British Open, in fact, is taking place as we record this episode on a Monday morning, where the rest of the golf world has their attention. But anyway, continuing on.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Monday, the team will reportedly be releasing their financial records for the previous year on Monday. This, according to Rich Ryman of the Green Bay Press Gazette. The Packers do this every year in advance of the annual shareholders meeting. That takes place next week. Is it Tuesday the 28th, I believe, is when it happens. So happens every year. They release it all in like a press release ahead of time. So I think, it's not taking people by surprise on the day of. They have some time to digest it ahead of time. Before the actual, owners meeting, the shareholders that takes place at Lambeau Field. And it's always interesting to see how the Packers are doing financially as a fan, you want to see them turning a profit. In fact, I mean, you might want to see them turning a record profit. I don't know whether they have or not this past year. But you want to see them do that so they can do things like make future investments into infrastructure without having to ask the public, for money. And then the Packers can also add to their preservation fund, you know, which has climbed to, I don't even know the number off the top of my head. I believe it's over, several million dollars, quite a few, over $100 million, something like that. It's a just in case fund. You know, at some point they need to keep up with the Joneses in the NFL, and hopefully this is far down the line, but they're ready then to renovate Lambeau Field or whatever they need to do, so as not to ever potentially lose the team. And so that's why you want to see the Packers today, you know, report a good profit. It always helps in a year in which they, you know, go deep into the playoffs, in which they have like an extra home playoff game, which they did this past season. It just brings more money to the coffers and, you know, pretty much results in more merchandise sold and things like that as, you know, there's a lot of interest in the team, things like that. So you could definitely, I can envision the Packers, you know, definitely making a profit and reporting a profit. Is it going to be a record one? I'm not sure. You know, perhaps a year in which they win the Super Bowl, they would make even more money. So hopefully that happens in these upcoming years. But anyway, expect that coming down the pike today at some point. I don't have an exact time for when it's released, but, you know, sometime today, Packers releasing their, you know, financial records for the, you know, the previous, you know, calendar year, financial year. Anyway, that happening on Monday, in addition to, a price increase today for the sixth annual Packers 5K run at Lambeau Field. Sunday was the final day for discounted registration, and Monday represents a price hike, although, you know, I don't say this to say you're getting robbed by any means. It's not a prohibitive increase. It's an increase of $5. So it's a really cool event, the Packers 5K. You run around the Lambeau Field neighborhood. You do a lap around the bowl, the stadium inside Lambeau Field as part of this. It's just kind of a fun, I mean, it can be competitive if you want it to be, but, you know, that brings in a lot of people. It's always held the first weekend of training camp. It's held on Saturday, August 1st this year. And you know, price as of Monday, as of today, jumped up $5 from, I think it's $30 to $35 for adults, $20 to $25 for children, something like that. Anyway, so if you're interested, the website to go register online, packers.com/5K. You can do that very simply on their website there. As of today, price increase for the event. But it is really cool if you're interested. You're in town checking out training camp for the Packers. They have practice earlier in the day on Saturday. So training camp starts the 30th, and they have three practices in a row right away. The 30th, 31st, and then the 1st, August 1st. And then August 1st in the evening, the 5K run. Big event. Gaining a lot of interest here. Like I said, as training camp opens and, you know, people are coming into town, visiting, and spending their vacation in Green Bay and things like that. It is a neat event. But by all means, go check out more information online at the Packers official website at packers.com if indeed you are interested. But that'll do it for today's episode of the show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Packers tight end, rookie tight end Mitchell Henry, for joining us this morning. Great to talk to a Packers player, and we got another one coming up on Wednesday. Alonzo Harris, running back Alonzo Harris, joining us on the show 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the live edition of the show, and podcasted and on demand later in the day. That'll do it, folks. We'll see you. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.
Every night I pace the hall, just waiting for your call, anticipating your next move, it's got me bouncing off the wall.